Social Intelligence, The New Science of Success by Carl Albrecht. Social intelligence is defined as the ability to get along well with others while winning their cooperation. Social intelligence is a combination of sensitivity to the needs and interests of others, which is sometimes called your social radar, an attitude of generosity and consideration, and a set of practical skills for interacting successfully with people in any setting. A different kind of smart. Surely, each of us knows at least one person whose company we don't enjoy. We hear people say things like, "I hate my job. My boss finds fault with everything I do. I guess I'll have to start looking around for something better." Conversely, most of us have at least a few acquaintances we consider special people, with whom we feel comfortable, respected, affirmed and cared about. It is obvious that some people behave in a more positive, supportive way. The positive person somehow knows more about people than the negative one. Can we become a socially smarter species? First, we need leaders who model high social intelligence. Second, we need an educational system that equips young people to express their ideas clearly, to make themselves understood, and to seek to understand others before reacting to their behaviour. And third, we need a media environment that serves the higher values of the culture and not simply the commercial interests of corporations whose executives feel entitled to sell anything they choose. S stands for situational awareness. The S factor represents your situational awareness, your situational radar. Are you able to understand and empathize with people in different situations? Can you sense their feelings and possible intentions? How well do you read situations based on a practical knowledge of human nature? Reading the social context. When we understand that there can be no human interaction without a context in which it takes place, we begin to understand how context creates meaning and how the meaning supplied by the context shapes the behaviour of those who are engaged in it. P stands for presence. The P factor represents presence. It's the way you affect individuals or groups of people through your physical appearance, your mood, your body language, and how you occupy space in a room. Are you approachable? Do you convey a sense of confidence, professionalism, kindness and friendliness, or do you communicate shyness, insecurity or indifference? Forms of charisma. In everyday life, charisma is one of those vaguely defined and little understood concepts that we think of as familiar, but which will seem to resist being captured in a simple definition. It may help to understand charisma better by viewing it in three of its distinct forms, based on its impact on others. Official charisma is that which is attached to a world leader, a well-known politician, a highly visible business person, or anyone who gets a built-in large-scale, often public ceremony anytime he or she arrives. Artificial charisma is that which is created for the media darlings of the moment. Earned charisma is that special province of a rare few who know they have it, yet who don't often exploit it. A stands for authenticity. The A factor represents authenticity. This dimension reveals how honest and sincere you are with people and with yourself in any given situation. Do you befriend only those who can benefit to you somehow in the future? People who have something you want? Are you the type who collects business cards and phone numbers professionally? One who establishes many contacts but very few real quality friendships and relationships? C stands for clarity. The C factor represents clarity. This dimension measures your ability to express your thoughts, ideas, opinions and intentions clearly. Do you say what you mean and mean what you say? Do you speak too fast, too much, or not at all? Does your voice production rate, volume and inflection inspire confidence or lack of respect? E stands for empathy. The E factor represents empathy. This dimension invites you to look at how truly aware or considerate you are of others' feelings. Are you able to tune into other people as unique individuals? Do you show that you're willing and able to accept them as they are, for what they are? Toxic behaviours. Gaining the personal and practical benefits that come with building empathy and maintaining quality relationships requires that individuals avoid or abandon such toxic behaviours as withholding positive strokes, throwing verbal barbs, being patronising, seeking approval excessively, insincere flattery, game playing, speaking dogmatically, violating confidences and breaking promises, complaining excessively, criticising, ridiculing, inducing guilt, and giving unwanted advice. Social intelligence in the world of business. There are 17 primary patterns of organisational dysfunction that impose significant entropic costs on the resources of the enterprise and contribute to its ineffectiveness. 1. Attention Deficit Disorder. Managers cannot focus on one key goal long enough to gain any momentum towards resolution. 2. Anarchy. Without a clear focus, people put their own priorities and political agendas above the success of the enterprise. 3. Anemia. Due to a series of economic downturns, the talented people leave for better pastures, and only the losers and misfits remain. 4. Caste systems. Some organisations have informal shadow structures based on certain aspects of social or professional status, castes that never appear on the organisational chart. 5. Civil wars. Organisations disintegrate into two camps, each promoting a particular proposition and value system. 6. Despotism. Tyrannical CEOs cause people to keep their heads down so as not to draw attention to themselves. 7. If it ain't broke, even in the face of an imminent threat to the basic business model, fat, dumb, and happy executives cannot muster a sense of concern and reach any consensus on the need to reinvent the business. 8. General depression. Sometimes, when things get really bad for an enterprise, senior management utterly fails to create and maintain any kind of empathetic contact with the rank and file. 9. Geriatric leadership. The entire executive team members have grown old together, remaining committed to an old, obsolete ideology that once made the enterprise successful, but that now threatens to destroy it. 10. The loony CEO. When the CEO's behaviour becomes dysfunctional, those in the inner circle react to the lack of an integrated personality at the top and start behaving in their own dysfunctional ways. 11. Structural arthritis. When a defective organisational architecture exists, collaboration is inhibited, internal competition arises, and the organisation's mission cannot be achieved. 12. The monopoly mentality. When an organisation has long enjoyed a dominant position in its environment, its leaders tend to behave like monopolists. Unable or unwilling to think in competitive terms and unable to innovate or even reinvent the business model, they fall prey to invading competitors. 13. Clint Eastwood rules. The cowboy CEO feels no need or responsibility to share the master plan with subordinates and keeps everybody in the organisation guessing about the next move. 14. The rat race. The prevailing notion that one must sacrifice his or her personal well-being in order to get ahead definitely creates focus, but at the expense of the cooperation and individual humanity. 15. cultural and structural silos. When organizations disintegrate into groups of isolated camps, each defined by the desire of its leaders to achieve favor with senior management, there is little incentive for these groups to cooperate, collaborate, share information, or team up to pursue mission-critical outcomes. 16. Testosterone poisoning. In male-dominated industries or organizational cultures, the rewards for aggressive and competitive behaviors far outweigh the rewards for collaboration, creativity, and sensitivity to abstract social values. 17. The welfare state. Organizations that have no natural threats to their existence enter cultures of complacency, which is more important not to be wrong than it is to be right.